Kia ora, everybody. My name is Fraser, and welcome to the KGC podcast this evening. Joining us tonight, we have Mr. Cam Jones Golf, Dan Crook, and Caddy Batch back on the stream. Hey, how you doing, guys?
Kia ora, kia ora. Well, mate.
Box of fluffies. Thank you.
Well. Box of fluffies.
Box of fluffies. Happy as I can, mate.
Dan is definitely on the podcast.
Dan is He's finally guy. Here, boys.
We finally got him.
He's about to take the show away from all of us.
You could have given me a heads up about those sweet shirts tonight, though, guys. I feel a bit underdressed.
Mate, it wasn't planned, eh? I just saw Fraser rocking his Santa shirt, and I thought I'd better chuck the party shirt on as well.
This is homeware for me.
Fraser, you look dangerous.
Fraser actually wears that to work on Fridays, would you believe it?
Sometimes on a Monday, too, if I forget which day of the week it is. So how's everybody going? Everyone having a good time? And what are we drinking? That's what we got starting with tonight. So let's start with Mr. PJ because he hasn't been here in a while, and he's actually still on the health kick there, Mr. PJ.
Yeah, man. I think the last time I said I was on, I'm off the beers. I'm off the Innu Waipiro. So I'm donning the Bundaberg ginger beer. Really, really not healthy for you.
The old off
so much time. Sugar, but hey.
Yeah. Cam Jones?
I'm actually drinking a combination tonight. I'm not having any alcohol this week until Saturday. So I've actually got a glass of water. I've got a little bottle of Bundaberg lemon lime bitters. So take a bit of inspo from you. And then I've got a protein shake as well. So, yeah, no beers for me this week. You got the walk up Mount Eden this Saturday, so I thought I'd have a week off and get the body ready because it's going to be a bit of a slog. But what about you? What about you, Dan Crook?
I got a bit of combination going too. I've got Pals and then the
shout out to Pals.
Yeah, so
Pals and another Pal.
That's it. Just me. Do you know if you're anyone doing sort of low carb, no sugar, all that sort of stuff? Like, for example, keto, you can drink these on keto. You can have like six of them on keto and not go outside your carbohydrates intake for the day.
Are you sponsored?
You. No, sir. We've just done a lot of research.
We've got a sponsorship plug. Power's coming your way. I've gone on a little bit of a health kick. We got the Bone Face still parked up in the back here. Shout out to them. But I'm coming off the beers and the wine for a week at least, and I'm just donning to hard liquor because I couldn't cut it all out. I mean, I'm not crazy. So a little light vodka, chilled vodka for me tonight. Should be going down good, behaving nice. Well. All right. So moving on, we'd like to make sure if you've got any questions out there in the audience, you want to ask Dan, Cam, or PJ or myself, throw them in the comments or any things that you want us to talk about. And, we'll hopefully get to those a little bit later. Or if something really cool comes up, we'll bring it up straight away. But we are in November, which we're talking about our Movember Foundation and things that are happening. And we'd like to do our little mental checkup. I see a few Mo's on the go. I'm still in attempt mode. But Cam Jones, how's the mental week going, mate?
Pretty good, mate. Pretty good. Can't really come. Yeah, the last few weeks have been good, and I'm not really sure if it's because it's starting to get warmer, spending heaps of time outside, been really, really quite busy with everything actually, like just with work and stuff, which has been nice. And then just got some pretty good routines and good habits in place at the minute, and enjoying my downtime as well with the flatmates, and managed to play a little bit of golf last week on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Actually, I played. Which was fun. Been all good ever since, pretty much playing with Dan a couple of weeks ago. Things have been good, and I've been enjoying playing a bit more golf and getting out there and playing a few different courses as well. I think it's been quite fun. What's that, mate?
You're single, eh?
Yes.
Yeah, I just wondered how you could get 3 days in a row.
5 minutes.
That's
hitting on somebody.
Yeah, so you're asking for yourself or no?
I mean, you look good, bro.
Yeah, no, I guess that's the beauty of being single, is you can do what you want when you want. So yeah, played a bit of golf and got a few more games of golf planned for this week and next. So yeah, looking forward to having a few more hits. It's just nice to be playing some twilight golf as well. It's been cool. What about you? Let's head it up to PJ. How you doing, brother?
I've been really good, bro. Like went through that slump a few weeks ago. But yeah, no, things are on the up. There's quite a bit of positivity going around with, you know, Movember, longest day. You know, there's quite a few people doing some really awesome things. So that's definitely helped. Jumped on the wagon with the longest day. Teamed up with a couple of groups, and I think we've just cracked $13,000. So,
$13,000.
Yeah, bro, $13,000, bro.
Wow, $13,000.
So that's, bro, that's like that's massive for me, bro. That just puts that's a massive huge smile on my face. Why, so
I just often wonder, like, why can't we do this like 12 months of the year, you know, like all this good stuff? Because everyone gets on a pretty good wavelength, I reckon, through this time.
Yeah, bro. But I got to say, there's this one dude out there who's by himself has raised, I think it's like $11,000 by himself. Bro, that's massive.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah, bro, that's cool. But
it doesn't. Yeah. You can raise a lot of money, and people do it every year. But every dollar, especially to a lot of these charities, really really helps. So I mean, if you're somebody who just raised $100, I know some young guys last year they played at Gulf Harbor, played their four rounds. They only raised $400, but and they're like, oh, we wanted to get a bit more. But that makes a massive difference when we're all doing it as a team.
Yeah,
not a competition, eh? We're all doing it together.
No. I don't know about you guys, but like when I make a donation, I get a bit of a buzz out of it. Like, I mean, sure, I might not be the richest man around, but just donating and helping someone else,
feels good.
You know, I feel a bit better. Like you're talking about endorphins and feeling good. Like it makes me feel good.
Yeah.
Yep. And Admin's just popped it up into the comments as well. So if you want to help out, click on the link in the comment section and give what you can, big or small, it all counts towards something. We'll go DCNZ, man. How's your mental wellness?
Mental wellness is definitely a lot better than it was a month back, you know. Like we've all been in some pretty hard spots over the last 3 months. And I think just since the shops reopened here and how busy we've been and how fast the days have gone, and you go home and you actually start to enjoy that locked up situation again. Like you spent 3 months at home and you just want to get out, and then you go back to work and then all of a sudden you're happy to go home again. So I think just opening up retail again has just lifted a lot of, especially this time of year. I mean, how else would you get a sweatshirt like what Fraser's wearing if we were still locked up?
I've had this for 3 years, mate. She comes out.
Bondi, you all good, mate?
I'm real good. Had some little bits and pieces, but nothing too major. But started really enjoying like the afternoons. And shout out, this is David Feeney over at the club room there. Dan knows him quite well. But him and I have done some stuff together when we had our club room. Yeah, the club room. When we did Charles Tour at Gulf Harbour. But he sent me a bottle of one of his favorite whiskeys that he's been drinking. And I'll tell you what, there's something said about having a whiskey in the afternoon and like just outside, maybe it's somewhere a little bit like chill, whatever, and just having 15 minutes to yourself, put the phone down, just look out at a view. And I've really enjoyed that probably about the last 3 or 4 times in the last week. And that small 15-minute window, man, you just feel the brain just go and the creativity just flies back in. So I appreciate David for sending me that. And I'm looking forward to the longest day stuff. I set myself a stupid challenge. I'm starting to do the math. I think James Peters pulled it out here, so I'm just going to bring it up so he knows. I promised to do 200 holes in a day. I did 140 last year. And 200 sounded cool. And then I worked out that if I play on an average of 1 hour per 18 holes, which is, I was kind of near that last year, I was about 1 hour 20, it's still about like 13, 14 hours of golf. So I'm a little bit worried about that one, but it's for a real good cause. It'll be a big day. But yeah, no, same thing. It's real fun. So no, I'm in a good spot, good space.
How is your body going to cope with 2?
I think it's going to break down.
I mean, 36 holes and you can say goodnight. Like,
yeah.
200.
Oh, yeah, 200 holes. It's yeah. I mean, last year when it happened, when I got through that 140, like literally, I hit the couch. I didn't get up for like 2 days. And I felt it. I played the last round with like a ladies set of graphites because I just needed a bit of flex because I just couldn't launch the ball. Yeah. It was so funny. I teed off the second to last round. The guys, I'd seen these guys a couple of times during the day, and I just stone cold topped it. And they went, going well, eh? And I went, cheers, mate. Okay. But no, it'll be interesting to do. Tuesday's not a good one. So no, it'll be fun. Righty, yeah.
I might have to come join you for a few holes there, Fraz.
Oh yeah, like some people came last year. Come and join. I just say just try and keep up because I play.
You had a drive. You had someone driving you last year, eh?
Yeah. Mike, my mum's partner came and drove. Yeah. Drove around, and he actually told me to slow down because I think round two, I played in 50 minutes, 18 holes, shot 73, and it was like you might want to pump the brakes a little bit. So, yeah, I didn't. And then by the time it got to 11, I was, like, struggling.
Fraser, there's people watching that haven't shot 73 in their life and you did it in 50 minutes.
Do you reckon, like, if we haven't obviously spoke about this, but do you reckon if I, like, if you played in a two, that you'd be able to match each other's speed, or do you reckon it would just get a little bit too skew with?
I think probably you and I could probably do it. We've done it. We gave it a crack a couple of years ago, and we
played 18 holes in like an hour and 10 minutes.
Yeah. You just got to flag the other person. But
yeah,
I think you and I would be all right. I mean, you and I don't get the shanks too often, so I feel pretty safe around. Well,
I don't know. Man. I've been known to hit the odd one here and there.
Well, I'm impressed with that two shots to Cam's one drive. So you'd play a lot more shots, wouldn't you?
I know, Fraser's not short.
Yeah, remember that time at Clark's Beach, Sam, where I got you by that 1 meter that one time?
I remember. I had 7-0. Yeah.
All right, yeah. Okay, we'll move it on and get out of that. It's good to see that everyone's going so well. So mainly we'd like to kick it off, and we'll start with actually welcoming Dan properly to the podcast before we start bullying him in full KGC fashion. But no, Dan, give us a little bit of your background in your golfing world. Maybe how you joined KGC. I hear you're pretty long off the tee and bits and pieces like that. Just a quick rundown there, mate.
I think you misheard. You misheard it. I use a long tee as well.
Oh, right.
I mean, in my background in golf, I'm just a golf tragic. I love the game. I am shit. that's a pretty good summary. But I think the coolest chat about it was really how I came to find Kiwi Golf Club and how that relationship started. There was an event down in Clark's Beach, and I registered to join. And I actually played with you, Bondi, in that one, didn't I?
Yep.
Yeah. Fine. So, and that was I have never played an event that had so many people of varying levels, people that had just started, people that were pros, people that were just out to have a great time, and it's such a little group of diverse people and having so much fun. And I was like, fuck, this is what golf should be. Like, this is what we need more of, you know, enough of the serious stuff and getting people that have, you know, just found the game for the first time out and enjoying it. And after that, I think we had one more event. It was the worst. I commented on Golf Digest actually the other day. They put up a question, what's the worst weather you have ever played in? And I was like, Kiwi Golf Club Waipu event. And I tell you what, I don't know how many players we had that day, but
we had,
I think, 100. They all had the same answer. 100 players.
100. Yeah, we had 100 odd players, and we went to have 130. So we had 30 pulled out. Yeah. But I mean, there's that par three, the second hole or whatever. And I know days that I'm hitting a full driver into a par three, it's windy, you know.
Exactly. Like. Possible. We had a par four downhill. I hit driver three wood and came up short. Now, then on the contrary, there's a par three on the back 170 meters, I'm like, oh yeah, it's pretty windy. I'll take 9.9 and I put it 20 miles. Like, I was like, what's going on here? This is stupid. But it was so much fun. And I was playing with a couple of guys that, you know, have sponsored events since. You know, Nathan Jong from Fount Cafe.
Good coffee too, Fount Coffee.
Great coffee. Great
real
coffee,
good coffee.
Like, we just, and we actually playing with a young kid that day too. He would have been like, I don't know,
was it a Dylan
or something? Yeah, it was. Yeah. And honestly, we like at any given time we'd kind of look at each other and we'd like huddled up in our jackets, freezing blue hands, but everyone was still having a good time. And honestly, that's what it needs to be about, and less of the serious stuff. And so, yeah, after that, guys, I hit up Pete and said, Pete, I want to join Kiwi Golf Club. I want to be involved in this, you know, more so than just a member. I want to help you guys run events, and I want to be involved in getting people into the game. And my God, it's been a journey since then. It's been so much fun. And yeah, so that's pretty much how I got involved in Kiwi Golf Club. Where to from there?
that's the whole journey.
It's a highlight, right?
No, but you've got a bit of background in some other golfing aspect as well. You can
tell us about your long drive career, mate.
Long drive career. Hard to call it a career, but I moved back from Australia 4 years ago. On the way over, a mate of mine tagged me in a post about a long drive competition. And, you know, I mean, I rated myself back then. I thought I was the man. And I entered this long drive competition. It was in Papamoa. And long story short, again, it was like Waipu weather. Longest drive after the second round. I think I was leading after the second round at like 214 meters or something stupid. Like, it was very, very windy. Horizontal sleet. Like, it was, you know. No, it was into the wind. We haven't got sandwich, mate.
Down to 240 meters, fuck your long, bro.
But yeah, from there, I never really had heard of long drive, actually, to be honest. Like, I knew there was an event, like a series in the States, but I never knew it was here in New Zealand. And I went to this event and made the New Zealand team, and was lucky enough to be involved with that for 3 years. I had some great times, met some freaking awesome people. And I got to travel to Australia, to China, a few events overseas where I got to play both individually and as a team. And, mate, I tell you, that was like, talk about highlights of you know, to date. Just being involved in that New Zealand team and taking on the Australians and beating them two out of those 3 years, like, just fuck, so cool.
Nice.
So cool.
Do you make a comeback right-handed, mate, in the long drive?
You can answer that, Cam. The answer's no.
You're not even going to give it a crack? You're going to give it a crack at all? Are you going to at least give it a crack or nah?
Right-handed,
yeah.
I remember the last event I competed in, I warmed up right-handed, and I was blown away at the sort of shape I was getting on the ball. I was like, this is all right. I might give this a go. But I'm only at 120 right-handed, so I'm nowhere near what you need to be competitive.
But playing with you a couple of weeks back, you've got the flight and the strike, I think, to, like, you know, it's pretty efficient. It's getting out there as good as it can. If you can just get a bit more speed and get that, like, just the contact side of it up, like, there's no reason why you couldn't, mate.
You're really close to being, like, where Cam's saying, but, like, for a small lesson package at Cam Jones Golf, you could be right where we need to be to get you hitting that long drive. So,
are you free on Fridays, Cam Jones Golf?
Fridays are one of the days that I teach, mate. But I've got about a 3 week waiting list, so maybe in December.
So, what are you doing Friday, Cam?
In 3 weeks, mate, I'm free.
3 weeks.
We want to hit him with some quick fire questions. So, I'll start you out with some quick questions here, Dan, to get you. And into the mix. I want to know, belly putter for or against?
I have a 33-inch belly putter, and it was a belly putter, but I've lost a bit of weight, so I'm against it. No, I'm against it.
Oh, damn. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Sorry, mate. I'm one for five on the old belly putter over the weeks. Okay, and then drinks on course or after the game?
Traditionally it was always after, but since Clark's Beach and, you know, the reunion at Clark's Beach, definitely during.
Okay. And the joggers, for or against joggers on the golf course?
Well, I've got the sweet pair of Lululemon ones now, and they're pretty sick. So definitely for them.
Have you rocked them yet?
Yeah, of course. I'm not out on the course. It's too bloody hot. But yeah, I've definitely worn them. Yeah.
Under slacks. I think Cam's got a few to throw your way too from his
These are my quickfire questions. And PJ, if you've got some questions, mate, you're more than welcome to chime in afterwards.
I've got one after you.
Okay. I'll get my few out of the way. And this is, I mean, these questions started with Jimmy a few weeks back, but I think I know the answer to this. But Saturday night, you're on a night out with the boys drinking. What's your drink of choice for the whole
summer or winter? Summer or winter?
Let's go both. Let's go summer and winter.
Summer, I'm gin and tonic, bro.
Ugh.
Yeah. Am I off? Should I go?
You're in. So no, okay.
Winter?
Winter.
Something dark?
Yeah, I could. Yeah, I mean, I love a rum. Yeah.
Okay, all right. Well,
Appletons, to be precise. A good 20 year special reserve Appletons. Yeah.
Okay, all right. And you're on your way home from town. It's 3 a.m. You've just left Danny Doolin's. The lights have come on.
Early.
What do you stop and eat on the way home?
Oh, greasy Macca's all day.
Yeah, what's your meal?
It used to be a double... Oh, God. A double McChicken with extra cheese.
What? Really?
Wow.
Yeah, and that'll
do. Okay. It's now Sunday, and you're dusty. The dust levels are high. What are you watching on the TV, mate? You're on Netflix, watching PGA Tour. What are you watching on Sunday?
I love watching old revamps, or not revamps, but like, like the 92 Masters or, you know, just old school sport. You know, classic matches, like old school State of Origins, you know, that sort of stuff.
Interesting. Just on YouTube?
Well, wherever you can search for it, really. But sometimes I remember that very first lockdown, they pretty much played every classic match of every sport that you could think of, because there was nothing happening globally. That was a fun time. Not that we were going out till 3 a.m. the night before, but was a good time to watch old school stuff.
That's me, boys. PJ,
cool. I've just got to say, this quick fire thing isn't really working here, eh?
The long fire. The long fire, apparently.
So here's my question. It's November, you walk into a mall, there's a DJ playing. All right. He's playing All I Want for Christmas. It's November. Do you punch the DJ or do you start dancing?
Turn around and leave. get out of here. It's November, guys.
Yes.
We have our Christmas tree up.
Thank you very much. So, Bondi, do you just want to rip the shirt off, bro?
Yeah, I don't think that'd be a favor to anybody. You know, me taking your shirt off halfway through a podcast at this rate. I'm gonna move it quickly along. I wanna just go into a quick little break here. But we just wanna put up a little bit of a post right now for the Movember Foundation. Come on, a little mustache check. There it is. Struggling. I drew it on before the podcast.
There. It's actually really visible in person. Like, your mustache is actually very good in person, Fraser.
It's getting better. I do a bit of eyeliner every morning.
I shaved
this morning.
Mascara.
Eyeliner, I don't know. Whatever I find in my girlfriend's makeup bag that's dark enough to get it. And then down the bottom there, or in the chat, you'll be able to see our link to our KGC Movember page if you want to join our team and get all paired up. Along with that, we want to actually welcome quite a few new members this week. We had 5 new members to the KGC crew.
Holy shit.
Yeah, we're growing. We're growing. Yeah, buddy. I think we're over 70 now, but father of a golfing legend who was on this podcast recently, Andrew Hydes, has joined, Jimmy's dad. Then we've got a James Smith, a Stuart McCall, a Connor Ritchie, and a Blake Driver. Welcome, guys, and hopefully we can see you at a live event soon. Yeah, Blake.
I just gotta say, when you sent that, or when whoever sent that through, all I saw was Richie and McCall.
All right,
Yeah, sorry. I was like, what?
He listens in. I think he's going to sign up.
I think he is a long time listener, Richie McCall.
Yeah, Richie McCall is a long time. He'll sign up soon.
I wouldn't just say friend of the show. There we go.
Friend of the show, yeah.
Who's to disagree? You know, we don't know.
He just doesn't know it yet.
Richie, if you're watching, mate, leave a comment. Let us know you're there.
Throw us a pass, mate, if you wouldn't mind. Right. So we got to get into the next part of it. We want to talk to Dan a little bit. I want to start us off. We've got a couple of little points here we want to cover. But fitness and golf, because that's like your big part that you do, Dan. That's a big part of you. And sort of give us a quick small breakdown. It can go pretty deep here, but hopefully we've got to fit it into this time, of how fitness can better your golf.
Yeah, look, it's a massive rabbit hole. I will try and keep it shorter than short fire, or quick fire, rather. I mean, Cam, how many different moving parts are there in a body when you're having a golf swing? How many planes, is there an answer to that question?
How many body parts are there in the human body? Like 200 and like 300 or something?
Something ridiculous. So basically, you've got hundreds of different parts of your body moving on infinite amount of angles. And you're trying to create this golf swing to create the ball to do what it needs to do to get to a little hole. Okay. So let's just say, for example, you're hitting this ball and it's forever going right or it's forever going left. Now, there's a reason that's happening, and it's not necessarily equipment, it's not necessarily your ability as a golfer, but it could potentially be something in your body limiting your body to do what it needs to do to get that ball going straighter. Okay, mm-hmm. So for example, Cam's coaching PJ is getting up, getting to the top of his backswing, and Cam's going, okay, PJ, I just want you to shallow out and get sort of inside the slot and just come inside to out and create a draw. You get up there and you're like, how do I do that? Like, your body physically doesn't know how to get into that position. Yeah. And it could be because you might be tight. There's restrictions in the shoulder external rotation. So what we do at TPI, it's the one thing you can't see up there. TPI is the Titleist Performance Institute. So we do screenings on our clients, and we work out what is going on in the body, what's tight, what's not working, to correlate to a good golf swing or, you know, an efficient golf swing. So after that screening, we go, right, PJ, external rotation is weak. We need to work on external rotation. So then we're qualified to give you a number of exercises to fix your external rotation. So next time you see Cam goes, all right, Pete, I just want to get to the top. Let's just shallow it out, get in the slot. And you're like, oh, I can do that. Mm. And then you can advance and start hitting a ball into out. So that TPI is basically the body swing connection.
Yeah, the map. The mapping of how you currently are. Yeah, snapshot of 100%. How you currently are.
Yeah.
That mobility part's like massive. I've dislocated my right shoulder probably upwards of 16 times now. So yeah, it's pretty bad. And like
you're swinging wrong, bro.
it was well before golf. But that what you're saying about your external rotation there in that arm, mine's terrible. Like if I put my back against the wall and I lift my right arm straight up, I can't get my thumb to the wall. It's just
that's actually a lat test.
A lat test. There?
Yeah, so I got nothing. That's a lat test. Yeah.
I got nothing in there, and I've been working on it a little bit more, like during the lockdown, and it's getting a lot better. But now I feel I can actually get the club in behind me, create that bit of lag, and actually have an underplane swing without, you know, like forcing it. Because I love it how Cam will understand from a lesson side. You'll go for a lesson, and someone's like, yeah, I'm over the top and I'm trying to fix that. And it's like, mate, you can't even get your hand behind your head. You are dreaming if you want to get it under plane along those sort of lines. So that mobility thing, it's massive. And that's a great way to actually sum it up is get a little snapshot of where you're currently at, work on it, and then you can see the improvements and how that will relate to your golf, right?
I mean, that's just the shoulder. Like the hips are probably the worst for general population. We sit for so much of the day. I mean, look, you three sitting right now and I'm standing. But we sit for so much of the day and our hips. No. It's because my hips are far out. basically, general population they've got no internal or external hip rotation. It's pathetic how bad they are. And it's because we've been taught to sit and watch TV, sit and eat our meals. We even crawl up into a fetal position when we're sleeping. You know, so we're always in that crouch position with our knees up, which is creating tight hip flexors and weak glutes. Yeah. So you look at a golfer, what was the first thing that moves in their downswing? It's the hip. 90% of golfers can't do that. So
Just quickly, Dan, if obviously everybody watching at home, the thousands of people sitting on the couch at home, tuning in live here, they're all going to have different physical limitations and abilities. But what would be a couple of things that they can do? How can they spend their time on the couch wisely that may actually help their golf swing when they do step up to the golf course on the weekend? Just a couple of simple little stretches.
Easy. Go and buy a foam roller. Go and buy a foam roller, and instead of sitting on the couch, just roll out your thoracic spine. If you don't know what that is, it's the middle to top part of your back. Just roll it out, Just you should be doing that for like 3 to 5 minutes a day anyway, just to be relatively healthy and sort of get good posture. You know, it does help your golf swing too. So like sitting on the couch, man, I never sit on the couch. You know, my wife might be watching, I don't know, but like I've got four rollers at home. She loves golf. And so I've got rollers at home and I'm always on the roller, man. Like that would be the number one thing. If you're going to sit and watch TV, at least do something while you're watching it. Yeah. That would be my number one thing to do. Yeah.
What about a stretch? If they haven't got a roller, what should they do with their hips, with their shoulders? What's something they can do?
There's a thing called the 1990 hip stretch, and it is not nice. If you Google 1990 hip stretch, you can actually do that whilst watching TV. I know Cam's asking for himself, but you can sit there and you can do that while you're watching TV. It is very hard. You'll end up sweating. But the 1990 hip stretch, because 95% of people around here have issues with their hips. Okay, so that's a good one to do. I would say stretch glutes, but again, 90% of the people out there have weak glutes, so you're just stretching a weak muscle. So yeah, that's a good one to stretch too, Cam. But definitely get those hips moving.
Would you say for the general population, if they just go and spend a little bit of time on the MyTPI website or YouTube channel, they'll be able to pick up a few pretty nice basic exercises that can help over time, or must they go see a professional?
So it's interesting you say that, because this conversation came up in the last, I think that second lockdown we did, I did a couple more modules for TPI, and someone piped up and said, why are all the videos available to the general public now? You know, we pay thousands and thousands of dollars to become educated, yet the videos that we train people are readily available.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, that's all good, but you're not going to know necessarily how to do those exercises. You can watch, but you need someone that's TPI qualified to be able to run you through them and actually tell you where to be, what sort of position to be in, what to feel. There's only a limit that you can get from those videos. By all means, 100%, go to my TPI website. There's thousands of videos up there. If you know what you need to fix, then that's a handy tool. But if you don't know what you need to fix, then you're looking at a library of Arabic basically.
That's interesting, mate. That's cool.
If someone wanted to get in touch with you and do a screening and get involved with all of this, how do they do that?
They go to the Facebook page, draw some hair on me, and they can win a free screening. So
bring that up in a second. But.
They stitched me up today. There's my Instagram handle at DCNZ13. That's my long drive and golf sort of life. Or if you go to SportFitDC on Instagram, and my phone's going beep beep, so someone's already looking it up. Yeah, so there's a website, sportfitdc.co.nz, and then that'll take you to the website. You can book now. Screenings are actually free, so you can come and get a screening. It's like visiting the doctor. You can have a free screening, but then I've also got the prescription to give you, which costs. So you can come and see me. I'll screen you all day, tell you what's wrong, but then you've got to be able to work it out. So
cool. So what are you doing on Friday asking for a friend?
I'm having a lesson with Cam. Having a lesson with Cam Jones.
Yeah, make it up.
Money well spent if you do go down that road.
100%. Like, I mean, you've seen me play right-handed, Cam, and like I 100% wouldn't be able to do what I've done there if it wasn't for TPI. Phil Mickelson credited TPI to his longevity in the sport and how he's managed to gain speed and actually hit it further as he's got older.
Yeah.
So I mean, there's a testament to TPI.
I've got a quick question in here from a young junior up at Gulf Harbour Country Club.
working on his distance. Jimmy Hides has sent in a message. How important is speed training compared to, say, just bulking up and building more mass when coming to try hitting the ball further, Dan?
Such a good question.
Just get massive.
Jimmy, yeah, he's such an intelligent man. Boy, sorry. speed training, okay, so there's a very easy analogy. If you increase your top-end speed, then your average jumps up. So let's just say you're doing speed training. You can be slim, slender, whatever. You can be overweight. You can be out of shape, whatever you do. But if you still increase your speed, the top end of your speed, your average jumps up. So let's say PJ's now 100 mile an hour, does some speed training. In 6 weeks, he's 105 mile an hour. Goes to the golf course. His average swing is going to bump up by 1, 2, 3 mile an hour, which equates to another 10 yards. So that's that. Bulking up makes you stronger. Okay, bulking up just makes you physically more brute. Okay, that doesn't necessarily equal speed. That can slow you down. Now, I know Bryson DeChambeau. Okay, but the difference is Bryson DeChambeau for 4 days was training speed and for 7 days was training bulk. So he was doing both of them at the same time. Okay, so yes, bulking up. The funny thing is you can lean up and become more aerodynamic and then faster. So there's a ton of ways to look at it.
Right. Oh, well, that's you're right, actually, with Bryson being like that, because he bulked up and then he slimmed right down, right? As he
look at him at the long drive champs.
Yeah, he's not massive, as big as he was maybe like a year ago, and he's swinging it almost faster than what he was.
Well, I think when you're playing a full PGA Tour schedule, you've probably got there's going to be periods where you can go ham with both trainings, and then you're probably going to have 5-6 weeks on the road where you're playing tournaments, burning 4,000 calories a day sometimes in some of the places they're playing. So yes, it's bit of both. Just factor it into your periodization plan.
The one thing I will say though, speed training, bulking, it's not like you go to the shop and buy something, you got it for good. Okay. You go and do training for speed and training for bulking up and getting bigger. If you stop that training, you lose it. It's not like you gain 3 mile an hour. Sweet, I got that in the bank. I'm going to play 3 mile an hour faster every week. It doesn't happen like that. You got to keep going.
Yeah, ain't that the truth?
Yeah. Okay.
Great question, Jimmy.
It is a really, really, really good question.
Legend. I feel privileged, Jimmy.
he's working on his distance. Jimmy's actually starting to hit it a bit further. I was kind of impressed.
Mate, he's in the process of finding a bit more distance now, but once he gets another 20-30 from what he's already got, like, he's gonna go to another level, and he's already at a level that none of us are at.
Yeah. I know Jimmy's already got a trainer, but sportfitdc.co.nz.
No, when Jimmy started, I mean, he'd barely get it out of his shadow. Now he's actually like keeping up. It's bloody awesome. So
getting it past the bunker on one at Golf
Harbour. He's going to be dangerous. He's going to be very dangerous.
He will be.
Get some more distance. Yeah.
So you mentioned about a little bit of right. There's been a bit of right hand chat that's kind of come up. And for those who don't know, Dan is actually left handed, and we love him. And this is the support group now. Because he has moved over to the other side. Dan is now a right-handed golfer with left-handed ability. Isn't that right, Dan? Tell us a little bit about your right hand versus left hand at the moment.
Yeah, you're transitioning.
I get invited. I get invited to parties, and people say, "Don't bring left-handed Dan." I'm kidding. I don't get invited to parties. I used to play some decent golf left-handed in my younger days. And I think I took up long drive, and believe it or not, it messed with my golf. I got worse and worse and worse and worse and worse, to the point where, I had a 3 or 4 handicap and I'm shooting, mid to low 80s. Now, mid to low 80s is still good golf for a lot of people on the planet, but for me, I had all this expectation to shoot even par every time I stepped foot on a golf course, and I cannot remember the last time I shot even par. Like, it wasn't in this country, put it that way. So then I found out that a lot of the training I was doing was like out, on driving ranges on mats. Now, mats isn't the same as tour, isn't the same as on a golf course. And the amount of hours I was putting in, I actually ended up with a bit of an injury in my wrist, and I couldn't compress the ball. So For some reason, I could still hit driver, but I could not compress the ball. And so I got to the point, it might have actually been that Waipu event where I was like, you know what? Oh, I'm done. I actually got to the point where I said, I'm going to quit golf and I'm going to go and start fishing. Yeah, exactly.
And well, I love that move. Yeah, I'm all for that.
So I was legitimately
Didn't you just buy some brand new left-handed clubs too?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, so this is the other thing, right? This is I mean, that chat last week with Nat Gillespie was just unreal. It was so good to watch. Like, as a club fitter myself as well, I understand the process that goes into club fitting, and I got fitted for a beautiful set of Mizuno MP20s, and they are unreal. Now, I'm swinging them as hard as I can left-handed because that's how I play. There's no second gear. I just swing the shit out of it. That's how I play. And they were going mint. And, you know, 172 carry for a 7-iron, and I'm just like, this is amazing. I'm going to take these out to the course. So I get out to the course. I've got these 130-gram extra stiff C-taper real feel-orientated shafts with blade heads. And I'm teeing up, oh man, here comes that even par round again. And I get up there and I'm shanking them everywhere. And I'm like, what's going on? And like, it took me probably 3 or 4 rounds to realize that what I fitted for in here and how I was swinging in here isn't how I was playing out there.
Yeah.
So when people come and get fitted and they're like trying to bash it because people are watching, it's like, play how you play. Because I got out there and I was like, I had this, you know, bit of enthusiasm to play again, and I was trying to hit it nice and gentle with 130 gram extra stiff shafts. It's not going to get the ball where you want it to go. So I went downhill from there, and I just said, yeah, as you heard, stuff it. So I'm out. And the Kiwi Golf Club actually helped me want to play golf again, but at a realistic level. And I was like, well, if I play right-handed, I'm going to get a handicap. It's going to be shite. But at least that's what I am. I'm a shite golfer. Do you know, like, it's so I started playing right-handed. And the first round, it was the worst thing I ever did. But I played at Gulf Harbour on a black tee day, and she was blowing it. Wow. Off.
Wow.
I shot 119. Fraser's frozen. But there he is. 119 off the black tees at Gulf Harbour. And it just got better from there. Like, the more I practiced, we had a lockdown, I could chip, hit balls every day. It got better and better. And then I was so over through 9 with you, Cam, a couple of weeks ago.
Mate, you were killing it. Like, I think we were actually tied after like 6 or 7 holes. And then what happened?
Then I forgot to take my clubs to the back 9 and proceeded to shoot 87. So, but that's the thing. Like, I got so excited. Like, I was on cloud 9 on the 9th hole. I couldn't believe what had just happened. Like, I'm 2 over through 9 holes at one of the most prestigious courses in the world. And so I get to the 10th hole and I'm like, you know, this is going so well. Like, I'm going to have my best round ever. And we had a par 3 that's 200 meters. I took 4-iron and put it through the back. And I'm like,
You hit 5. You hit 5-iron.
Oh, 5-iron. So if I've hit 5-iron, 230-something meters.
Yeah, the wind, it was, to give a bit of context, the wind was down and off the right, and right-hand Dan is playing a really strong power draw, and I think you called it like a touch thin. It had probably like 2,000 RPM spin, and it landed pin high, coming in so flat, and it's gone like 40 meters out the back. And you've just, like, I think the mistake you made was you just couldn't quite accept the fact that you hit it so far in the back of the green. I think you might have like 3 or 4 putted for like bogey or double, but then
I had a double bogey.
Yeah, you just didn't quite recover mentally from that.
But having said that, Cam, I parred the next hole, so that was okay. Like, I thought, you okay, wow, I've fixed it myself.
Multiple hands. It was the lost ball on 12.
Lost ball on 12.
Yeah,
you just got to move from left hand brain to right hand brain. Maybe that's the power move now. Swap back.
I get less frustrated now. I still get frustrated, but I get less frustrated now. And I don't have expectation. But now that I've had that two over, I'm like, now every time I get out, I'm like, oh, am I going to do it again?
Yeah.
Just
it's golf. Good to know that it's in there, though.
Yeah. It's in there.
Nah, that was fun. I reckon you, what is your handicap now? 14?
11.8.
What? What did we play with that day?
Yeah, of course.
Burglar.
Like a 16?
14.
No, I'm pretty sure. Was it seven shots aside we gave you?
It was 14, yeah. So, yeah, and right. Back then it was 12.8, so it was probably about right.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, PVK coming in with his right hand handicap, Manza Pahua.
Regular.
Last name, Crook.
Yeah.
It's crooked.
Honestly. No, it was a fun day, though. Fun match. And I can honestly say, like, I think we played maybe once or twice left handed. But playing with you right handed was bloody enjoyable because the look on your face when you hit a good shot at it is just like.
Oh, yeah.
I got to be honest, though. Probably I haven't shared all of them yet on Instagram, but some of the commentary from you, I was videoing obviously like quite a few of my shots, and you in the background, it's just all time. Oh my god, they're sexy.
Well, I found the love for golf again, right?
I know.
I genuinely lost it. Yeah, and
you can hear it in your voice.
Anyone struggling out there to your home, change dexterity. It'll bring you back to reality real quick.
Well, if there are golfers that are out there that are struggling and they're looking for on their golfing abilities
Jones
this
golf.
Coming summer, they can just golf. No. There's actually something pretty exciting with circles that Cam's going to tell us a little bit about now.
Yeah. So on that note, Dan, you're obviously starting from scratch again, obviously, in your right-handed golfing journey. One of the interesting things, and this is just a pure suggestion from my end, is to give you a snapshot of where you're currently at. You've probably got a bit of an idea, but if you, you know, sign up to circles and put in your first five rounds of golf, which is kind of like the screening process that you might go through with a player physically, circles is really good to give you a bit of an understanding of where your game is at. And then for whatever goal you set for yourself, it literally just paves the roadmap on how you need to get there. So it's kind of knowing, understanding where you are, understanding where you're wanting to go, and then the bits in the middle, which is where the goal comes in from the circles platform and data, will actually just help you get there faster, hopefully, because they've got some really cool training logs and practice methods in there that are relevant to you and specific to your goals only. So that's the cool thing about this platform. But it's a little bit of a plug for them because we've got some stuff coming out with them tomorrow. So keep an eye out on social media on both Facebook and Instagram. We've got some cool stuff going on with them. I've been using it with a few of my players, and the ones that are using it regularly for their playing and practice have seen unbelievable results. Like one of the players, won't name names, but he's found a real love for, I think, the numbers side of it, and has become extremely intrinsic in knowing that, like, he had some pretty lofty outcome goals, I think, for this year, and unfortunately hadn't quite achieved both of them because one of them was affected by COVID, one of them was affected on the weekend because of the weather for Club Champs, but he didn't seem to mind so much because he was just so committed to his own process and his own daily goals and habits that he can control, which is something that I think Circles does really well, is that it just gets you really focusing on what you can control, which is how you spend your time practicing and playing. So for anybody that is serious about wanting to improve and keep track of their performance and create a bit of accountability and structure to how they go about improving, then I think Circles is definitely worth it. And like myself, Fraser, the team at Circles, they've got an awesome support network. More than happy to answer any questions. They've got a chat box that I'm pretty sure is live 24/7. Yeah. So it's
where they're from.
Yeah,
It's New Zealand based.
So Circles.
Awesome.
Yeah. So Circles is founded by Craig Dixon and the team at IOG, and they've got a whole bunch of data scientists and people that are unbelievably smart that have put thousands and thousands of lines of code in Excel together to then create this platform that we can obviously all now use, which is really cool. But yeah, I think where the proof's in the pudding for me is there's been players of varying abilities that have had their best rounds after only 4 to 6 weeks of training and practicing with the system. It's definitely not for everybody. Like if you're only going to have a hit with your mates and not really care too much about your score and that, I probably wouldn't sign up to it. It's not for that reason, but if you genuinely care about improving and and know where you want to know where you are now versus where you want to get to. It literally just paves the roadmap.
So how do we find it, Ken?
Drawmorecircles.com.
Drawmorecircles.com.
Yeah, and I'll preface that by saying, like, I've got absolutely nothing to do with this business, but when Craig put together the brand and the inception and stuff like that, just helped him out with a few photos, so you'll see my face planted all over the website. Yeah. But yeah, now that I've, you know, it was probably 6 months later when he actually launched it, I thought, fuck, this is actually really, really cool. Aside from that, it's awesome. Fraser, what are your thoughts, mate?
Yeah, it's, I went through it just more recently, Cam's seen a bit more, but essentially just break it down as, and I'm going to make it sound way simpler than probably what it actually is, but it's a fantastic stats keeping app that uses an AI to give you stuff to practice when you go to the driving range, the chipping green, and the putting area, that then sends those practice logs to your coach, and they can see how you're practicing, and it creates a nice little circle. So you never turn up to the range and go, oh, I wonder what I'm going to practice today. It will tell you, not just, hey, go practice your tee shots. It goes, hey, here's a good drill for you to go and do. This is how you set up the drill. And that part to there really got to me, because I go, man, the amount of times I walk to the driving range, which is, you know, twice a year, because that's how many times I go down. But you hit a bucket of balls or two buckets of balls, and you've just got no clue. It's like, well, what am I trying to learn? Yeah. It gives you some good drills. So for the fact that you're never lost in your practice, and the fact that you can track your practice, that's nice. Where I think it stands out. So, you can sign up. First 5 rounds are free, and then it will give you a bit of feedback, and then you can go there. There's a pay for it sort of section, depending on how deep you want to go, if you just want stats or you want the AI learning too. But I'm quite impressed, and I'm not getting anything out of it, and I'll be paying for it because I've got to clock 200 holes of stats somehow. but it's very, very good. But we actually got to move it on. We were flying, guys. Again, this has been fun chat. We've got 7 minutes left.
That quick fire stuff.
Yeah. I've got it in there twice, didn't you notice? No, we like to do a little section. The grind my gears section. Maybe we should throw it to our guest, Dan. There's something out there in the golfing world or something golfy that grinds your gears.
I was going to say, is it golfy or not? So, okay, it's golfy. Okay.
It's golf. Golfy. No politics, mate. No politics.
No, it's the indicators on cars. That's,
golf W's in particular.
Yeah. Hey, whoa, relax.
So, what grinds my gears? Okay, this grinds my gears. Now, this is purely from a club fitting perspective, okay?
Yeah.
PJ comes to see me. Hey, Dan, I heard you know how to fit a driver or two. Look, I slice my driver. I'm only carrying it 160. I want to get it to 230 and I want to hit it straight. Okay, great. Let's get to work. So we get to work. End of the session. Pete. Sorry.
PJ. That's why they're not buying from you, mate. You can't remember their name.
PJ's left.
I just saw PVK pop up before. So PJ, you're hitting it now 230. It's dead straight. Like, this is what it's going to cost you. $1,000 for a new driver. Oh, yeah, cool. Yeah, I'll have a think about it. Sorry, what?
You've hit the goal. You've hit the goal and you just walk away.
For something specific, and I've given it to you, and now you're like, you're going to think about it. The fuck? I'm sorry. What? What's wrong with you? Oh, I got to ask the wife. No, you don't.
Yeah. You must just have a wife that's very understanding and lets you just spend money willy-nilly.
Oh, no. No. You got me wrong, Cam.
When you make the big bucks, though, eh, Dan? You make all the decisions, right?
Oh, exactly. $10 an hour, man. I'll tell you. I'll pop
What about PJ? What about you?
Not quite sure, eh, bro?
No, nothing. Everything's just that good.
I'm kind of with you, PJ, because it kind of makes us think about negative things, eh?
Here I am having two.
There was one major thing I had a moan about, and you know how pro shops have opened up and people can come in blah blah blah. There's no just checking window. Yeah, cool.
For Auckland.
For Auckland. Yeah, check in. Yeah. Fuck off. you're all thinking it. Boy, you fucking.
I am.
Yeah. 100%. is that they stand at the door and yell at you, pointing at their phone without any words, asking politely for a digital scorecard. I had that happen Thursday last week, and I was like, someone needs a punch. Because they all rock up and like, hey, yeah, one of these. Like, well, hello to you. No, it's just rock up.
Good morning.
Yo, yeah, give me one of these. I'm like, after like the fifth one, I was like, nah, I just kept my head down. Yeah. You better come inside.
Yeah, put a mask on. Come inside.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Put a mask on. Oh, that's the other thing. Sorry, you got me started now. Shit. Okay. Oh, no. So, when you're working in a shop, you have to wear a mask the whole time. The least you could do is put on a mask for like 1 minute while you're inside.
Yeah.
We have to do that all freaking day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna stop there. Cam Jones.
Yes, he's good. He's good.
You done?
I'm done, bro.
I love this one.
Yeah, for me, it probably came in light of recognizing some clients that had done some really good stuff and really good work in between lessons from week to week. But I'd have to say, and it's nothing, I don't think anything personal to people, but it's when clients don't do the work that you prescribe them in between sessions, but they almost do the opposite or just don't do it at all, which is fine. Like, it's obviously how you choose to spend your time and practice and playing. Like, it's totally up to you. Like, I can't control that. But I think, when a person or a player comes back for, you know, for sessions or whatever and hasn't quite gotten any better, and they're getting a bit frustrated, I'm getting a bit frustrated. Well, not outwardly showing that I'm frustrated, but kind of wondering why it's not having the same effect that you might think it would after however many weeks or sessions that you've had. But that would be it for me. But that only really came in light of noticing a couple of players that I've been working with recently who have actually done some really good stuff, and asking them how they've spent their time and what they've done with their time. It's how they, or how we talked about it in the sessions that they would go and do after. So that's it for me. So if you're one of the players at home watching that I coach that doesn't do what what we talk about in training, do what we talk about.
Yeah. Just do it. Yeah.
Nah, it's all good. But what about you, Fraze? What's been grinding your gears, mate?
Nothing too much. A lot of the stuff that PJ spoke about that's come up. I went to the other level where we actually created our own Gulf Harbour mask. So when you turned up without a mask, we just sold you one. It was a brilliant,
great solution.
Yeah, great business.
I actually, I must say, I was actually in the shop the other day when I heard that whole process unfold. A guy came in, someone didn't have a mask, and one of your amazing staff, Fraser.
Yeah,
went through that process, and I thought, gee, Fraser's a smart man. Ain't getting Gulf Harbour masks.
I mean, at a $50 mask, it's really a bargain for everybody. I mean,
could save a life.
Yeah, I did that little post earlier. I did that little post earlier this week, and about like things that you get on the golf course that make you look like a little bit of a weirdo. And it was ticking through. There was lots of things like putting with a glove on, and bits like filling out the scorecard on the green, but the last one I saw just recently, and it didn't annoy me until the guy brought it up, and I can't remember who it is at the moment, unfortunately, but it's people who pull a four-wheel trundler, so they don't push it in front of them. And I never noticed it. And then all of a sudden, bang on cue after that comment goes up, next day, here comes a guy pulling a four-wheel trundler. And I'm sitting there going, oh, no, I'm going to see it all the time now. So, that's what grinds my gears, and we've stopped selling four-wheel trundlers to not promote that anymore. that's the one. So that was a fun chat to read through though. But so thanks to everyone who joined in on that. But that's now one that's burnt into my brain. That one. So yeah,
nice one. I've actually got my one for next week sorted. Now that's just jogged my memory a little bit.
All right, so we should finish it up. We did skip over it at the beginning. That's my organizational skills. We got to get PJ back in the full hosting.
No, you're doing well, bro. You're actually killing it as host.
I think you've taken my gig, bro.
Crap.
You are doing well.
But we got to get the around the grounds. There's been some phenomenal Kiwi achievements more recently. So Cam Jones, have you got it there? Do we need to put it in the comments for a?
No. I've got it. There was a few things that happened over the weekend. A couple of really, really good results to speak of. But started off the women's Asian Am, Caitlin Cottrell. She finished in 51st. Belinda May, she finished in 45th. And then a couple of, this is quite a cool one. So we had a couple of Kiwis play Latin American Q School last week. Charlie Hillier managed to get conditional status for Latin America, so he should get a handful of starts early in the season. And their season started off in maybe 2 or 3 weeks. And Denzel Aramea, he actually finished in second place. So he managed to get full status on the Latin American tour for 2022 season. So, and I recorded a podcast with him earlier tonight, just before this episode. So catching up with him was really cool. And I'm just actually real stoked that he managed to finally get a tour card somewhere that's going to hopefully, it's going to keep him in the US, and hopefully he can kick on and do some cool stuff. But staying in the US, Steve Alker, who has just dominated the Champions Tour since getting up there, he finished second at the Charles Schwab Cup at 18 under par, so a great way to finish the year for him. And then Lydia, after winning in Europe last week at the Saudi tournament, she finished second at the Pelican Women's Championship on the LPGA Tour. And then this week, Danny Lee's at the RSM Classic. He missed last week at the Houston Open, didn't play, but this week he's back at the RSM Classic. And Lydia will be playing in the final event of the year at the CME World Tour Champs. So I think she's got to work
out. She's up to fifth now. She's up to fifth in the world.
Is she? Yeah. So, yep. I mean, she's another one. Like, it's really, really cool to see. Really, really cool to see her, Danny, Steve Alker, a number of guys actually playing really cool, really good golf all over the world. And all the boys playing in Europe, Dan, Gary, Foxy, all of those guys are in MYQ. We've got Nick Voke also in MYQ down in Christchurch. He's going to be on a potty with me, hopefully, in the next few days. Everyone seems to be coming back, but there's also some Kiwis doing some cool shit all around the world. So that's it, boys, in terms of the around the grounds. Fraser, if you want to wrap it up, mate,
we got a couple of things to wrap on, and I won't drag it out for too long because we're just ticking over our time now. But we actually have next week, the man is actually out of MIQ and done plenty of fishing already, but we got Foxy actually coming aboard to say a few things. So yeah, he's committed now because I've mentioned it live on a podcast, so he can't pull it. but I see that he came straight out of MIQ, straight on the boat, and he got a pretty good feed so far. So good on him. Nice. And we did a little post stream here, and probably Dan thought I forgot, but Dan, you've got to really choose between these hair winners that have submitted. A couple of, if you're listening in, you might see some photos that you posted up. So I've got five of the best here, or four of the best, four of the best, top four that I got in to choose from. So I got Alan Stroud's one there. You can decide who wins this. We've got a local junior, PJ Campbell, from Howard. Local senior from Uruguay.
That's awesome. That is fucking awesome.
I haven't personally met Michael, but Michael Hudson there. Have a fresh cut. And what is it? The winner of Clark's Beach, number one, Hara there. with this journey.
Is that Johnny Bravo? Is that Johnny Bravo?
Hey, baby.
I'm a stunt double, so. I'm going to go with Hutter.
Yeah.
At least because I've got hair in that picture.
got hair in this one here from PJ. But I mean, I will say, is this an Adobe Photoshop blend?
That's probably my favorite.
That's a run up. That's a definitely that.
I'd feel pretty bad giving it to Strouty, given that he's a mate of mine. So, Strouty, come and see me on a Friday. Seeing as Cam is busy, and we'll chat.
Okay, well, we'll wrap it up there. Thanks very much, Dan, and I'm sure we'll have you on many more. Mr. Caddy Batch NZ, PJ Campbell, and Cam Jones Golf, who's busy on Friday. So we'll see you guys all next Tuesday with Foxy. Thanks for coming aboard, guys.
Awesome. Thanks, great job, mate.
Awesome. Catch you later. Thanks, everybody. I meant to play this thing out. That's what we missed doing. We missed doing the thing. I forgot that was my job. And I'm going to talk through it like it's not, I'm not butchering it. We're zoning out, leaving.
You're not butchering it. It's all part of the show, man.
It's all part of it. There it is. Got it.
This is pure music for that shirt, Bryce.
Christmas time, mate. Mariah Carey. He's been playing it up. DJ booth. I'm not leaving. I'm dancing.
Right. Cheers, boys.